Now tuned into the greatest.
With the season almost here,
bruh.
I want to hear which team had the best offseason. Which team had the best offseason?
That's a dumb question.
Is it?
It's obviously the Lakers. Lakers have they got everybody, literally everybody. And then they're going to retire Pau Gasol's jersey. You could add that in since he retired. Newly retired, Kobe's buddy. But yeah, definitely the Lakers. Picking up Westbrook, that's the biggest thing you could do on the offseason. Picking up Uncle Westbrook.
All no right, question. All
right. And then they got Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Like, I'll throw his name in. Kent Bazemore, Ariza. Like, it's insane what they did.
I think getting Malik Monk for how cheap they got Malik Monk after, like, you know, a really good second half to his season. So the upside of what they potentially got for the fraction of what they paid for, I think that's Rob Pelinka pulling strings, and, you know, shout out to him for doing that. So I agree with Dex. I think the Lakers got the best one.
And they got their championship players back. They literally got Ariza, they got Dwight, they got Rondo. Any champion, they pretty much brought back.
Okay, well,
where's the Caruso?
The NBA GMs don't seem to think it's dumb. Believe it or not, the NBA GMs actually said Miami Heat.
Not bad.
Miami Heat actually had the best offseason. And the big reason why? Because they nabbed our guy, Kyle Lowry.
Yo, sneakily, they also got Markieff Morris, too. So that's pretty good for them.
It's not a bad offseason. That's why I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you can obviously easy bake answer is the Lakers. But yeah, you know what? Looking at the Heat. Get what they needed. They get their guy, like they get their leader, they get the point guard. And Kyle Lowry's first game in the Heat jersey, you know, first shot was a three, and I was just like, and it was one of his classic, like, I'm gonna just like chill in the back while you guys bring the ball up, and then sneak behind two guys, dash a three in his face, and the Heat fans were loving it. Like, they're rubbing it in our faces on Twitter. But
annoying, guy.
Oh, they are. They really are.
They're like the dumbest kids in the world. I didn't realize how bad it was. I was like, bro, I'm trying to be your friend right now.
Let's rewind to 2011 or 2012.
Hey, man.
When you were a Heat fan.
I was a LeBron James big fan. Three fan.
Yo, Heatles.
Heatles, baby. Yo, that's going. Yo, when we went, was it 33-0 or something like that? Ooh, good times.
Not one, not two, not three, not four. Not five, not six, not seven.
But four finals appearances.
Welcome back. So Below the Hardwood, I'm your host, Ryan Antonio Henry, sitting here with the homies, team, compadres, cohorts, amigos, fantastic through, we're not the Fantastic Four. Womp, womp. The Avengers, the Fantastic Trio. Yeah, we could go with that. Trios. The NWO, the Northside Serpents, whatever you guys want to throw in there, get an Oxford Dictionary and come back to me with the greatest. You are listening to the greatest again, Below the Hard One. I am joined with Alan Shane Lewis.
What's good? My name is Alan Shane Lewis. I am on a podcast.
He's on a podcast. And Dexter Areola.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki. And that's the start of the show. This is episode 51. I completely forgot to check if we have any famous 51s. Do we have any
Michael Doliak?
Shout Area out 51. Dooley. What about Robert Tractor Trailer? I feel like he's up there.
Oh, yo, your boy Boban.
There. Oh.
Boban Marjanovic.
Okay. Is Boban the best player to wear 51?
No, I think like Bernard King or something.
Bernard King. Oh, wait, did he actually wear? Oh, no. There are some players. Okay, so we have Keon Dooling. We have Meta World Peace one season. Boban, for sure. Reggie King, Lawrence Funderburk.
Reggie King. Oh, wrong King. Yo, Lawrence Funderburk. Shout out Sacramento. Let's go.
All right. Are we going
That's
with
my 2K going? Team, yo. Why'd they drop me? Why'd they drop me?
We're going with Meta World Peace.
Too many guards.
Meta World Peace best to wear 51, probably. Maybe.
We'll see. Michael.
All right. welcome back. And the reason why I'm saying welcome back is because this show is titled Welcome Back, because the NBA, ladies and gentlemen, is back. Preseason has begun. The league is underway. Everyone's excited. We had a couple preseason games over the last 2 days, and we're here to talk about it. We're here to say, give you our crazy one preseason game overreactions, because you know it's coming, especially from Raptor fans who witnessed one of the greatest Raptor preseason games of all time with the young guns, the electrifying, the Raptors are tall.
Yeah.
They are tall and lanky. So let's just get right into it. Just hold on. We're going home. The Raptors play.
Who's the tallest player?
Their first home game in over a year in Toronto. So the first thing that I noticed when I was looking at the court is these guys are lanky, long, and can, they're just athletic as hell. But yep. Dex, you said who is their tallest?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like everyone's 6'9".
Isaac Bongo, or is it Chris Boucher?
Nah, he's like 6'8". Is Isaac Bongo on the team? Oh my god! Isn't he on the team?
I think he's on the team.
I'm looking. Okay, go for it.
No, I just say this team is like, I really enjoyed watching that team. That second unit with all those like tall, lanky guys like Delano. Who else was on that? Shvi was on there too. Scotty Barnes. It was just, and Utah. It was just this very athletic, long length, hands in all the passing lanes type team. Everybody's 6'9". You want to do a pick and roll? Great. Go ahead. You're just going to switch. And there's another guy who's the same guy on top of you. It's like this weird kind of new fangled basketball where it's like, do we just want a whole team of 6'9" guys who can dribble the ball and move it and just have
we'll call it Tekashi lineup.
6'9".
Everyone's 6'9". Yeah.
Whole squad 6'9". Yeah,
Tekashi lineup. Let's go.
It was just, it was marvelous to see. And it just, they put the clamps. And I know it's, you know, preseason, obviously, we're playing against a team that doesn't have Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, and their leading scorer was Andre Drummond. There is like still holes within it where a big person can go in there and just feast and just body people and get their whatevers and eat. But I can see this team coming out there and just squeezing up another team's second unit for a little bit. And then just, same kind of.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, just like, you remember like that old time when it was like that second unit of just like five players that would just sub in for the Raptors when it was Dwayne Casey coaching, and it was like Fred, DeLon Wright, Jakob Poeltl, and I forgot who was the third forward, but whoever that was. But it was just that second unit that came in there, applied pressure, held on to leads, either probably gained a little bit too, and then gave the starters a much needed rest, and then boom, inserted them back. Because we did all this, you know, last night without Pascal, so you could put Pascal within that. You could put Chris Boucher up in there. You could have you can go even smaller and put Gary Trent Jr. if you really wanted to. So it was really nice to see the ball moved. These players were hungry. They're excited. And Scotty Barnes, man, he gets you hyped. You have to have a player that just hypes you up.
Scotty Barnes. Did
you guys see that walkout? The player walkout?
Scotty Barnes. He's definitely our mascot.
It looked like it was Dave Chappelle.
I want to go back to Alan's point about like big men who like would give these guys work. How many big men in the league are there that would give these guys work?
Embiid.
Like, and if you really think about it, we're gonna get to DeAndre Ayton later, but
Jokic,
there's really no big men that like feed in the post like Shaq, like these guys did before. Sabonis, like, I don't know. I just feel like that lineup is very dangerous, and man, like the speed, and you know what? They all have a high IQ. Like Utah, like Scotty Barnes, OG, like these guys are defensive players, and just the IQ and like where to switch, where to move. Like these guys know where to be. They know the right position to be in.
And once Goran Dragic gets like familiar with everyone, you can see Scotty's trying to bring him in. Like every time I see Goran, I just see Scotty with him. Just like, yo, get excited, man. Like he's like in the player intros, he's like shaking him. Like it's crazy to think that this kid just got drafted, and it's like he's the guy that's like the not to say that he's the leader, But like you can already see he's like one of the most active guys in the locker room after just like one preseason game. Like he's probably loud. He's vocal. Like he is trying to get people pumped for this season. Like I just love Scotty's energy. Like I don't think the Raptors have had a player like Scotty. Like I don't even know if Mo Pete was like this. You know what I mean? Like I don't remember seeing any players like it kind of reminds me of Mo Pete in a way, but even Mo Pete was kind of calm. I don't think we've had a player like this in the locker.
Yeah, just a high motor type of player who just goes out there and just he loves the game of basketball. You can tell he just loves playing. He doesn't love scoring. He doesn't like doing. He just loves winning and playing basketball. He makes winning plays consistently. And also got a shout out to Precious Achiuwa, who I didn't know he had that range on him. I did not know he had that pull up. I didn't know he had that pick and pop like that. I didn't know he had just like just that little bit of handles. Apparently, he was like a small forward for a lot of his career, or like a guard for a lot of his career. And he didn't really get success until afterwards, until he realized, like, wait a minute, I could be a four and just eating food. So he still has a lot of that he's retaining. You could see it because he looked very confident on that shot. So that was really cool to see, too.
I think the Olympics was kind of his like coming out party for Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's actually my favorite new Raptor. Not drafted, obviously, because obviously it would go to Scotty, but my favorite signed or traded for a new Raptor. I'm looking out for Precious this season for sure.
Yeah. Also, here's the tallest player on our team is 6'9". That's the tallest that we have. Guess what?
Everyone.
The oldest player. There's only one player older than me on the team, and that person's from Slovenia.
Dragic.
Yo, what's the all the Raptors?
Is he 30? Younger than me?
No, he's 86, so I guess he's 35. But yo, what's the, all the Raptors are older than us or younger than us?
That's I'm a coach now. Me and Chauncey Billows, me. Yo,
video coordinator, baby. I'm on the other side. I got a clipboard
I'm a coach now.
Should be pretty good. But yeah, just from that game, obviously Scotty had that crazy dunk that everyone was going off of. Scotty with the passing to Goran Dragic early. And just like the energy, like the one thing I took from that game was they ran the court like every possession. They ran up and down. I'm like, I haven't seen a Raptor team like this. This is a new era. Like you can feel it. Like it's not like the Kyle Lowry like blueprint is still there for how they act and how they go about. But you can tell that this is kind of like a new team. And I'm just happy to see like a rookie kind of like. Again, I don't know. We can't say who's leading the charge in the locker room, but I just feel Scotty is a part of that table and that core group already. So
I feel like it's all fun now. Like it's all fun and games when they're winning and it's preseason. But man, I feel like he's gonna get a rude awakening during the season.
Oh, why are you so negative, bro?
Yo, I love Scotty Barnes, but like, man, like his energy is infectious. Like he's that dude. But like, man, I just feel like the season is gonna come out and just beat his ass. And
just say you want to see
I want a new age Raptors. I want this. Like I want Siakam to go. I want a new.
This like man says, I want Siakam to go. That's the biggest negative, lie.
Yo, I see. That's
negative. The biggest lie when he was hating on Dame Lillard, hating on.
I feel like he's going to realize that, man.
Trey Young.
It's not all fun and games, right?
Nah, man. I think he has a championship pedigree. He's part of those Team USA guys who are just like straight up glue dudes who are just like, yo, I'm ready to go. Like the high socks. He's his own player. He's in his own mind, and I love it. I just want to play this one video quickly right here of this dude. Just hyping up Dragic. It's preseason. Yeah,
we made reference to this. We made reference to this a little bit earlier in the intro. Just Scotty bringing in Dragic, just like shaking him up in the intro. It's just like, it's crazy. Like Kyle Lowry was the intro guy, right? Like Kyle Lowry for us was the guy who like got everybody in the starting lineup to like come alive, right? Now Scotty's taking that over, like in preseason game one. Like it's dope.
I'm about to get Barnes jersey. I think we just got to do it now.
it might have to happen. It might have to happen.
First jersey of someone younger than me. I don't want to do it, but I'll have to do it.
Just before we hop off the Raptor train here, any last thoughts just on the upcoming season? What you guys expect? Like, do you guys see them possibly sneaking into the playoffs?
Yo, Raptors win the championship this year. Done. Sign it. Put it in. It's over.
And that's your overreaction.
Raptors.
After six, one preseason game.
Raps six. You know, it has to be. They're going to be sixth place.
Okay.
I want to ask you guys, who do you think is going to be the leader of this team? We need a leader on this team.
Win. I would still say it's Fred.
It's still Fred. Yeah, I think it's Fred. But it's like, as far as
it's Fred
leader, I don't think it matters.
I think Kyle.
I really think it's going to be. I don't know why, but I think it's going to be Gary Trent. I have a feeling Gary Trent Jr. is going to he's going to rise to the occasion. You can feel it.
Gary Trent. Ooh, I don't know.
I think Kyle passed that to Fred on his way.
Yeah. It's Fred's team.
They got a good relationship.
I'm done with Kyle,
just seeing the way Fred handled all those interview stuff about Pascal and his injury and coming back. I was like, "Oh, that's a leader. That's a leader. This guy works his tail off from the beginning since he got into this league, fought and clawed his way to have that position. That guy, you know, I don't think you could be above that guy unless you're a Kyle Lowry. Like, I don't think anyone else has a more commanding presence within that locker room on the court or, you know, off the court than that guy right now.
I'm going to make a kind of analogy, but I'm going to say, like, for the X-Men, I'm going to say, like, Fred VanVleet's like Wolverine. Like, chip on his shoulder, but he's not a leader. He'll go to work when he needs to, but I don't think he's Cyclops. I think Gary Trent is going to be the Cyclops of the team.
But he's going to be the leader. I would maybe down the road. Gary Trent, after he finds himself and finds his place,
Cyclops,
I just don't think
ain't
right now
the leader of the X-Men.
Yes, he is. He's Professor X.
Inner Professor X. Jean Grey is Professor X.
I'm just saying, Cyclops. Wolverine, like, yeah. Huge chip on his shoulder, and I feel like that's Fred VanVleet. I don't know why he won a championship. He got paid. Like, he's getting all his praise, but I still feel like he has like a boulder on his shoulder, and I love that about him, but. I just feel like it's not. There's just something about him that doesn't scream leader quality to me.
Cyclops is a fraud. He ain't no.
Well, we all know Cyclops is. If Cyclops is your favorite X-Men, like, who are you? Like, you're wasting your time. That's silly. No. But he is the leader. We have to give him that. To be fair to that piece of shit.
Let us know who's the leader of the X-Men. Who's the leader of the Raptors? You can hit us up at BTH on NBA, Applo the Hard One on Instagram, and wearepress.net. You can leave it in the comment section. Who is the leader of the
Scotty
Raptors?
Scotty Barnes is Gambit for sure.
Scotty Barnes is Gambit.
Remy Lambeau. Sherry. You won't
let us know.
That's all he got. He's so horny. I was watching that cartoon.
That was in the 90s.
So horny.
Oh, why is that? Mo Shetty, yo, for Rogue, yo. That's temptation right there.
I know. She's going to kill you, dude.
She'll kill you. You don't care.
I'm going to assume that we haven't really watched much other preseason games other than the Raptors, but. Have you guys noticed anything from any other teams? You know, like the James Timberwolves had a couple of beautiful dunk sessions
from Pat and
Edwards.
I put a poll on the BTH thing. Who you rather start a team with, Ant, or would you rather start a team with Brandon Ingram?
Okay, all right. That's actually not a bad question because Ant has a ton of potential and he's just hilarious on the mic. So he's a personality. He's like that superstar in the making potential. You have Brandon Ingram, who's, you know, he's nice, but is he going to end up to be the player that everyone thought he would have been? So that's actually not a bad question. Dex, what do you think?
I'll definitely go Edwards, man. Like, you're talking about Anthony Edwards, right?
Yeah.
I would definitely go Anthony Edwards. Just like, I feel like he's Dwayne Wade-esque, and I used to love Dwayne Wade. Trust me. Adam Marquette, that was my guy. I just feel I see a glimpse of that in him. And, man, just like his personality off the court. Like, we talk about Scotty Barnes, but his interviews are hilarious. Oh. Like, Edwards' interviews are, like, they're gold.
Yeah.
So definitely him. Just B.I., just, I don't know, since he was a Laker and, like,
yeah,
I have a soft spot for him, but like that Lakers stint was not good.
See, I'm the opposite. That Lakers stint ruined me. I was like, I didn't like when
that's he was there, yeah.
Yeah. And then when he was with LeBron, I was like, oh, what are you doing? You're just kind of just hanging out, huh? So I think, yeah, I go Ant. The BTH poll, 73% said Ant, I won't say how many people, just like that Andre Roberson stat, but 73% of all our participants said they'd rather start a team with Ant.
I'll join that. You know what it is? I don't like when people shit on Brandon Ingram because, like, at the end of the day, like, he's still a good player. Like, I think he still has an all-star in him. Like, he has
the wrong team.
I think it is because think about it this way. You play on the Lakers behind LeBron James. Like, that's not going to really help
you. Okay, but now you're on the Pelicans by yourself. Let's see what you got.
He's doing. He put up numbers last season.
Yeah, he put up numbers.
Those are fake numbers.
They didn't win any games, but he's putting up numbers. But you know, I feel like he's in the right situation. He's in the right team. He can
second unit. He shouldn't be starting.
I don't know why. I see him on the Knicks with Julius Randle again. I don't know why. I see him as in a Knicks uniform. I feel like he'd flourish there.
I just think anyone who played on that first edition of the Lakers when LeBron first came kind of got the screw job because obviously they all got shipped out. But that's what happens when you play with LeBron. if you ain't good, you get shipped out.
It was post-Kobe. Post-Kobe. They messed up.
All right. I did notice that we have the first victim from the new NBA shooting rules. I don't know if you guys saw it. Steph Curry was seen arguing with the refs off of the classic fake your defender into a shot into the air, and basically you jump into them hoping to get a foul line shot. And the refs weren't having it. The refs basically said, "Hey, buddy, this changed this offseason." And, you know, Curry and even Steve Kerr were pretty furious about it. But it's like you guys knew this was the change, right? You guys knew you can't do this anymore. Was Steph synonymous with it? Like, I know people go at Trae Young about it. People go at James Harden. People even said Luka. But, yeah, Steph's like the first big, big star to hit it. Do you guys think this is really going to affect the game? Like, are we going to see a lot of guys doing this, forgetting that this rule has changed?
I feel like we're going to see a lot of complaining about it, definitely from those players you said. But I don't know if it's because I'm a Kobe fan, but I feel like Kobe started this, that pump fake jump into the person. I've seen Kobe do that a lot. But I feel like there's players that complain a lot that do this and will complain a lot. So it's definitely going to be a lot of three-point shooters. I honestly see DeMar gonna, because he pump fakes a lot. Maybe it's a lot of pump fakers. So DeMar pump fakes a lot. I feel like Lowry pump fakes a lot. He'll probably complain as well. But it's usually all these guards that do it. I don't know. I feel like it's pretty much a guard rule, because no one in the post is going to get this.
It comes from a lot of the three-point shooters. So the Stephs, the Hardens, the Lukas. I think Trey was a big part of it last year. So do I feel like it's going to change, not change the game, but it's going to, you know, chip off a few points off some of these guys? Yeah. Like Harden and those guys lived at the line through this rule. Like I would guarantee you could almost like have like a betting part, like a put up like a bet on it that these guys would get to the line like at least twice, two or three times a game just from this rule alone. So I feel like it is going to shave off some points. It's going to aggravate some of these guys, and we're probably going to see some plays stopped because it's built into them, right? Like they just remember, oh yeah, I got to fake my guy into this. I got to do this. This is a part of my game. So I feel like you're going to see Harden get called for this a couple of times. We already saw Steph, Luka, off his step back three. He's probably going to have to adjust. Can't remember if we missed any other guys who are synonymous with doing this, but
Dwayne Wade, but he's retired.
Dwayne Wade, yeah.
Oh, Jamal Crawford would have a fit.
Yeah, it's interesting. That announcer is really funny. He's like, not this year, not this year. Like that was so petty. I love it. You think that guy forgot the mic was on? He was like, I get to see him super excited about that call. But yeah, it's going to be interesting because I never thought it was a basketball play. Just the same thing we saw with the sweep through, how that was now not a shooting foul anymore. It's just kind of a regular foul on the floor. yeah, I think, you know, there's different ways that players learn how to kind of cheat the system. Not cheat the system, but like, you know, if the rules say I can do this, I'm going to find a way to do that. So more power to the players for figuring that stuff out. But I'm glad that they've kind of made an adjustment, because it wasn't basketball. I didn't feel like it was like, you know, it didn't feel like a play that should be in the game, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, so yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's going to be the adjustments and how players kind of change their game, because now you have to step up a little further on these threes, or you don't have to step up as immediately anymore. You could just, you know, you could still do that and give yourself an opportunity, but maybe these players will just get better at selling an actual shot that's a foul, you know? So we'll see. Yeah.
All right. Talking about early season favorites and overreactions, or early kind of overreactions, the annual GM survey was completed, and we kind of mentioned it earlier with the GMs coming out and saying that the Heat were the best offseason moves. But they also predicted a couple other things. They said that they got the Nets as the early title favorites, and they also gave KD front runner for MVP, edging Luka Doncic by over 37%. So do you guys, like, again, we've talked about this, and almost everyone has two teams, obviously, with the lead on this, but do you think the GMs are far off to say it's the Nets and not the Lakers? Alan?
I don't know. I feel like, sure, that's probably the choice that everyone thought last year, but also, is Kyrie going to play? Is he going to be missing? He hasn't made it apparent to the Nets organization that he's, you know, what his plans are for what's going on. So they're kind of in the dark with everything. So I wonder if he's going to be pull a Kaepernick, or is this going to be full of cap? Nick?
Ooh.
Kerr? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, because Andrew Wiggins, he pretended to be cap, but guess what? He wasn't cap. He was just a guy who was afraid of Advil.
I don't know. Dex, earlier, I think actually just maybe last week, you kind of said that the Nets, I think you mentioned that the Nets pretty much could possibly win even without Kyrie. So
I still feel like that.
No, they can't.
I feel like with Kyrie, they're a championship team, like definitively, but without, I think they could win the championship. They have a chance. But Kyrie's very pivotal to their team. But I just feel like they have the mindset, the rest of the team have the mindset that he's not going to play. And I feel like Steve Nash is going to adjust to that. And Steve Nash is a good coach, man. Like, everyone, like, of course he has a stacked team, but he's been a leader of a team. And I feel like he could lead this team and work with the personalities. And, but I still think the Lakers are the favorite. So I don't know. It's tough. It's really tough. I think everyone puts the Nets really high because they could have beat last year's champion. Like, they were a shot away from beating last year's champion. I think that's why they put him up top. And I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. I think a few teams could have beaten last year's champion. I think it just happened that the team that they played in the finals didn't have a Giannis stopper. And you kind of need that if you want to beat the Bucks.
You do. You need the wall, and you need someone that can just kind of alter his game at least, so he's not dropping 50
points. That's 2019, man. 2019. The feels. The Raptors, man.
Hey.
Giannis stopper.
Did we put the wall on him? We put the wall
on him. Oh, yeah.
We put the clamps on that.
Clamps, dog. Hall of Fame clamps. Intimidator. He got
Drake,
it all.
Drake laughed at him at the free throw line.
We would have three-peated. That's the worst part about
you
all
say
of it.
This.
No, so, we would have three-peated. I don't see anyone beating us. At 2020, no. 2021, absolutely.
The Lakers,
not.
I think, would have beat us.
No, we would have beaten the Lakers. We would have figured them out. No, we wouldn't beat the Lakers. Nah, we would have beaten the Lakers.
Think about it. Kawhi was injured for that. Wasn't he injured? No, he was injured last year.
He just got slapped by the Nuggets. The 3-1. They went up 3-1. If he was in the Raptors, never would have happened. He would have felt confident in his game. He would have felt good. And if you want to go, you know, 0-14 in the fourth quarter, that's okay, Mr. Leonard. We got a bevy of studs to step up to the plate, you know. We would have had OG. We didn't have OG in that first playoff run. Now we got OG now in there. Come on, I mean, OG hitting game winners.
Celtics for sure.
We would have beat. That's the worst. That, yo, what if? Yo, Raptors, what if?
Raptors, what if?
What if? Sorry, just going back to the Nets. I actually have a better question for you guys because there's a couple of personalities that have mentioned this. Shaq has actually come out and said, hey, if he's not going to play, trade him. Would you trade Kyrie Irving?
Depends who I'm getting. Who am I getting? Because if you really think about it, like Kyrie went to the Nets on his own, right? And I feel like he has no, what's the word I'm looking for? No devotion to anyone. Or like he's not devoted to, like Kevin Durant's not devoted to Irving. Harden's not devoted to Irving. Like everyone's there for Durant, right? And I just feel like letting go of, I don't want to call him a cancer, but like problematic teammate, kind of. Because he changes the face of your team. It really depends who I get back. Like, would I trade him for Ben Simmons? Maybe. Would I trade him for Damian Lillard? Probably. Like, who am I getting in return is what the ultimate question is, right? And I feel like the stock will be very low, especially his case, right? Because he doesn't want to get the vaccine. And like, who am I just going to get picks back? Like, I don't want picks. I want to win now, right?
Well, the way you could look at it is as long as you're not a New York or California team, he can play your home games.
And so like away games, Jonathan too.
Isaac. Yeah, Jonathan Isaac great. Over in Orlando, he's not facing this issue at all. Yo. And Jonathan Isaac, as much as...
I'm tired of...
You know, he's against... He did... I don't know if you guys saw it. He did have a well-thought, well-put-out kind of statement towards it. I'm not... taking his side or anything like that. But out of all of the guys that have actually come out against the are you putting that for yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you get your time. But of all the guys that have kind of come out against the vaccine, I actually listened to his like little piece during his media day interview, and I was like, you know what? At least he actually, like, it's not like Wiggins. Like, I'm sitting there listening to Andrew Wiggins like, I don't want to do it.
Because we know Toronto man.
The difference between Wiggins and Isaac is just like what's the word? Clarity in how they speak. They're both coming from a well of absolutely nothing and dumbassery. Let's be completely honest. Jonathan Isaac's time and time again puts his religion in front of all these different issues and complicates things, pretending like it's part of God's mystical whatever. This nigga's on friggin' Fox News talking about all this ignorant shit right now. This guy wouldn't kneel for the Black Lives Matter or do that stuff. What did he say? My religion. And then he just said all these words that mean absolutely nothing. He says so many words to say absolutely nothing. This guy is garbage. He is wasteful. He is sage steel. Get him out of here. You're not allowed in the cookout. What's it called? Racial draft. Go. You're done. We're gone. I'm done with this you. Man, I'm so done with Jonathan Isaac. Sage
Steele's interview against
he's him. Sage steel. He is. Wow. He is male sage steel. He's Candace Owens. This guy's toxic. Bun him.
Okay. All right. That is.
What did he say? What points did he make?
But like. Just in terms of like the people that have spoken out against it, he didn't have his points lined out.
I think he was saying
he was talking about having COVID himself, the antibodies. He was mentioning obviously going down, and Andrew Wiggins kind of like, you know, said exactly what he said afterwards. But he was mentioning just obviously with the fact that we don't know what it's going to be like. There's not enough research obviously in it, and it's true. There isn't enough research to say down the road could this happen.
Here's the thing. I don't have remember when you had a cheeseburger that was bad?
He lay out his points better than anyone I've heard.
Okay, he was more organized with his bullshit. Let's just say that then. But if you have a cheeseburger that made you sick, are you worried about the long-term effects of that cheeseburger? Or did your body get rid of that?
But we don't know that.
But that's how that works. mRNA vaccine does not actually change your thing. None of that actually does something down the road. If you have an adverse effect to a vaccine, it's within the limited area of when you get the vaccine. It's not going to be 20 years down the road. It doesn't just pop up, right? It
goes, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Put me in your body 30 years ago. I'm back. Why would you be back?
I'm playing devil's advocate here. I just thought out of all the guys, his interview was well thought out, and he put it out there. Compared to the Andrew Wiggins one where – again, Andrew Wiggins reluctantly has accepted the vax, and his interview where someone says, so how do you feel now that you're vaccinated? And he's just like sitting there shaking his head, just like, I didn't want to do it. I had to do it because I needed to play basketball.
I wish Kyrie Irving had that type of mental awareness. Like, you think what's his name's got to talk to him? Like, I think to a point you have to bring in KD and be like, hey, tell this dude if he wants to win championships, he's got to get his head right and stop being intentionally contrarian to everything that he sees. He doesn't need to always do that.
But here's where I'm going to put you on the spot, Alan. So your guy, LeBron James, is under fire too.
Same foolish shit too.
He did take the vaccine, but just like Wiggins, not just like Wiggins, but in his own way, reluctantly. I'm not saying you have to go and obviously promote it.
Yeah.
But he is refusing to basically say, hey, you guys should go out and get this. Yeah. And obviously with his platform and his reach, people are expecting him to do it because, bro, if LeBron says go get the vaccine, do you know how much percentage of people he is going to get to take that shot?
But do you know how many would save if he did that? He's gonna lose as well. I feel like he's trying to save face and like be like, okay, I'm gonna say nothing and keep my unvaccinated people fans, and then I'll say I got vaccinated. That way, my vaccinated fans will stay. I just feel like he's walking that line and he's just on the fence, like a little bitch.
Thank you. I got to agree. I'm not defending him. Absolutely not. Yeah. That's 100%.
Yo, correct. Make a decision. You know all about that.
Exactly, bro. You love making decisions. Hold on. You love making decisions, Doc. I'm loving public decisions all the time, my dude. Why are you stopping right now, bro?
We gotta play devil's advocate on the show.
You can't play devil's advocate with a virus. That's the whole point. Like, let's listen to the virus. You got some points. I'm like, what?
Nigga, we gotta list out their points, and then we gotta list out their
scientists,
points.
And then there's viruses. Sometimes you gotta be in the middle. You know what I'm saying? You just don't want to piss off either. Like, what are we doing right
LeBron,
now?
LeBron is trying to play.
Devil's people don't want to get back both. To normal. Do people enjoy a pandemic? Funny. I don't understand these people. You want to make it longer? Oh man.
I knew this was going to put fans in a hard spot because you could be a hardcore fan of somebody, and then when you hear their vaccination, like, you know, points, they're like, you're like, I don't know about you anymore. It's not like you're like, good on the basketball court, but
it's stick to the things you know, like from High School Musical, whatever. They point to the basketball.
But yeah, Andrew Wiggins vaccinated after, you know, obviously not getting an exemption. And it's looking like it's going to come down to Kyrie Irving. And like, I don't know how much left rest of the league there is, but
do we see how bullshit these guys are right now though? Like, this guy was talking about how he wanted a religious exemption. At what point in that interview did he talk about his religion? Never. At what point? So he's full of shit.
It was a loophole. It was a loophole. It was an excuse. Nah, man. Excuse. There's no religion.
Because you had a bad thing to Tylenol. You don't want to take a vaccine.
Kyrie, I could say, because Kyrie is always on his spiritual native leadership and guidance. So we can't say the exemption for Kyrie wouldn't make sense, because that would make sense. But the Andrew Wiggins one, that was crap.
We left it straight to basketball, Kyrie left it straight to basketball, he could have been one of the greatest guards ever.
Oh,
man. Like, I don't know what. Oh,
he
man.
Talked
like,
himself right out of that category.
Like, that's insane, man. Like, basketball wise, he's one of the best guards I've ever seen in my life. Like, with the ball, finishing at the hoop, he's a great 3-point shooter. I would arguably say he's better than Steph. I would arguably say that.
3-point.
One on one.
Yes. Yeah. Kyrie.
You know, Steph is considered the greatest shooter like of all time.
I know, but like, man, if Kyrie just kept focus and kept basketball like on his brain, man, he could arguably be one of the greatest guards. And I don't know, like, what does this do for like his Hall of Fame legacy? Like, I advocated for Kyrie being in the Hall of Fame. And like, this is steering him like... I don't know. It's pushing him away.
You know what it is? It's like Bane. Victory has defeated you. I think the fact that he got that chip so early in his career it just changed him, where he's like, well, I got nothing to prove. I already did this thing. I think if he was still hungry and was on the hunt for
LeBron
elusive chip, he would be playing a lot, or his focus would be a lot different.
I say this half as a joke and half not, but I feel like if Kobe were alive, he'd straighten him out. I say it as a joke, but I feel like
true. Maybe Kobe would have given him like a task. Like
that's what I mean. Like, yeah.
Get up off your ass, do something. Like, but like, see, the thing with me and Kyrie is I always believe that was LeBron's ring, to be honest, because let's face it, he didn't do shit before LeBron came back. He didn't do nothing.
Kyrie do in the finals? You can't say
with
that.
LeBron. Kyrie, if LeBron does not block Iguodala, Curry is like a four-time champion right now.
I'm not just saying the shot. I'm talking about like game six, game five. Like watch
those. He did.
Where Kyrie is going off for 41.
He did, but if LeBron's not there, none of that happens. Like Kyrie doesn't.
But if Kyrie isn't there,
LeBron goes to the finals and wins.
Yeah, he went to the finals. And then what happened the next year?
LeBron will find a way.
What happened the next 2 years? Without Kyrie,
you're saying LeBron Kevin Durant joined the beef between.
No.
Kevin Durant was like, "Ooh, that rivalry between Steph Curry and LeBron looks great. Let me just insert myself in here and get some free chips."
Kevin Durant factor.
Let me just ruin this rivalry for some reason because I can't win on my own.
It's the Kyrie factor.
LeBron did not need Kyrie to win a chip.
He did.
He was just in the right spot at the right time.
He did.
LeBron won three without.
He needs a superstar. He needed a superstar.
Yeah, I think you're overrated. Listen, I like Kyrie, but he did not do crap before LeBron came back to Cleveland.
Oh my God.
I will say this. He did lose focus. And to be honest, the whole trade discussion with Kyrie, people were like, you know what? Yeah, you could trade him, but is that team going to want it? Because, bro, this guy has contemplated retirement already. So it's like, if you have a guy who's contemplating retirement, it's like, do you even want that on your team? Like, no, but if I were to trade him, I'm asking the team for. If I'm the Nets,
who do you trade him for?
I don't need now pieces. I'm just gonna ask for like three future first rounders if some team's stupid enough to do it.
That's the thing, you want to win now. I feel like with the Nets, like the window.
Do you need anybody?
I feel like the window's gonna be smaller.
Do you need anybody now?
Just pick someone up. Like if you want to trade problems, just trade problems. You want trade problems? Trade for like John Wall. Why don't you just take that hit?
Ruin chemistry
on the money.
That would ruin
chemistry. And then, like, okay, would you rather have a money problem or a Kyrie problem?
But if you have the future draft picks, you're setting yourself up for a better days when those stars get older or want to leave.
That's the thing. Like,
you already have enough firepower right now.
I feel like any package with John Wall, they're gonna add first round picks.
I don't know if James Harden wants to go work with John Wall, especially after what happened.
That's true.
I'm just saying
trading.
Try to leave me, nigga.
Trading problems. I'm saying, like, if you want to trade for Ben Simmons, if you want to trade for, I don't know, who else is a problem?
Yeah,
you could trade for a cat, maybe. Right?
Yeah. I just feel like they got enough weapons. Like we saw, like there's a crazy like score records kept of the Nets wins and losses when two stars played, or when one star played, or when KD played with Harden, or when KD played with Kyrie. Like it was like back and forth because obviously the three stars did not play like at least like 15 games together. But I just feel without like KD and Harden are enough. If that's not enough, that's ridiculous.
But then add people around them. Like it's nuts who they got. They got James Johnson. They're getting LaMarcus Aldridge back. I'm pretty sure. They got Patty Mills. Like they added players
enough
to kind of.
At least they got Joe Harris.
Patty Mills was an insurance for sure, right?
They still got Joe Harris. Like they're stacked.
Paul Millsap's on that Kyrie tip. He's been saying some.
Paul Millsap is on the team,
on Twitter.
Man. Like,
it's nuts. They're stacked. Let us know if you feel the Nets are the early title favorites, or if there's another team in the league that we're overlooking. Spoiler alert. Is KD the runner for MVP? I don't know if I have KD as the runner for MVP. I feel like there could be a few other names actually that you could honestly throw. And I'm going to throw this as a dark horse. I know you guys are going to be like looking at me like weird. Obviously, I want Luka, but Trae Young. If Trae explodes early, and Paul George, if Paul George without Kawhi explodes early, those are early.
It's going to be Steph Curry.
Oh, okay. He does get Klay back. We'll see. That could be it.
That's the thing. Like, if you do get Klay back, he's going to take away from Steph Curry, right?
Yeah, I think they've been itching to give Steph Curry that award again. Like, they wanted to last year so badly, but like, but he's not gonna make the playoffs. What do we do?
I want to say we're disrespecting Giannis, but like, I feel like he might take this season off, man. I'm not gonna lie. I think he won a chip. I think he's good. Like,
championship hangover.
I just feel like he's good.
Championship hangover.
MVP. I don't know. My heart wants to say Harden, man. My head wants to say Harden.
I don't think KD would let that happen.
I don't know why.
None of these big three teams with all these stars are going to have an MVP player on them.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. I actually thought Westbrook would be the best player on the Lakers.
I think so, too.
I think Westbrook would be.
I think the ball's
going
to run through Westbrook.
The motivation's there. Westbrook is going to be the youngest, not youngest, spry, the spryest guy running down.
Okay,
the court.
He's going to be the spryest guy, but
LeBron's going to love it. LeBron's going to be like, "Yo,
oh yeah, they're going to have."
Well, LeBron's taking nights off.
Yeah,
that's what's happening.
Yeah. He's like, "Yo, Wes, this is your team. Go get your ring." I feel like Westbrook could still end up getting like high numbers
because because Westbrook's going to have the ball in his hands. He has so many options. He has a pick and roll with Dwight Howard. He has pick and roll with AD or whatever, pick and pop, whatever he wants to do. And LeBron could play decoy. Like, I feel like that's what LeBron wants to do. Like, he'll just play decoy. And when he needs the ball, he'll get the ball, right? So I feel this is going to run through Westbrook for sure.
This is LeBron's dream. This is what LeBron wanted like 4 years ago. He just wanted to coast for the last 4 years of his career.
Chill, bro.
And chill. And now he could do that.
This guy's like holding keys. Like, you want this car? And then like Anthony Davis is like, I don't know. I want to play four. Be a center, man. Grow up.
Grow handing up. You the keys, be a center. Bro.
Come on, man.
Man.
Taking it to another big. Are the Suns screwing this up by not offering Ayton the max?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's one of the. What? Why are we not? Is McGee this good? Is he really like? Is he this good? Where they don't think of Ayton anymore? They're like, "Yo, McGee, dog, you're our starter now." Yo, Ayton, nah, we good.
How much did they run out of money after they gave Chris Paul his contract? We can't tell anyone we're broke.
37-year-old Chris Paul.
We're broke.
What the hell happened?
Secret. How about we give you like $20 million now and then nothing later on?
I feel like they just have a money problem. Like, they don't know how to distribute money. I feel like James Jones wants to give Ayton a contract just because he's one of the best centers in the league right now. And he's like an old school center, but he could like rim run. And he's I don't know, he's like a hybrid type thing of an old and a new center. And I just feel like paying him or not paying him is a huge mistake because someone will give him the money.
How do you draft somebody first overall?
Dallas?
Them not being horrible and then not giving them a max contract afterwards. Like, you have to be pretty bad as a number one pick to not receive your max contract. Like, it's curious. It's a weird thing. And I don't know why they're playing this game. It just says to the entire league that, like, hey, we're not serious in this organization. And if you get drafted, signed with us, we're not going to treat you well, even though you did that with Chris Paul. Chris Paul can get it. If you're not Chris Paul, you're not going to get that type of treatment.
Let me play devil's advocate. Maybe they did pay Chris Paul. They're going to pay Booker again soon. But they also have to re-sign Mikal Bridges. They're in the same draft class. I feel like with these guys, they don't know which way to go. I feel like Mikal Bridges is a great player. He'll probably get like... he's probably like a 20 mil a year player, man. Like, he's a swing man, right? And a lot of teams are looking for that. And I feel like they're trying to decide between these two.
I feel like they're trapped.
They have to sign Cam Johnson.
I feel like they're trapped. I feel like they saw their chance last season and it didn't happen. So if they put all their money into this team, it's like, do you want to do that? Knowing that the Lakers and Nets just did what they did. And then you have other teams like the Clippers, Utah. We don't know what the hell Dallas is going to do with Luka. So it's like, do they want to really put all this money into this team that couldn't get it done against the Bucks? And then I'm not shitting on Aiden because I like Aiden. Aiden's a dope player, man. Aiden won them games in some of those series. Oh, yeah. But was he doing this? Is he doing this without, you know, a really high intelligent point guard? Like, can he do all this stuff by himself? Like he's not a Joel Embiid. He's not a Joker. I think he needs to be led by like a top notch high IQ point guard. So if Chris Paul's not there, are we going to get the better? Like, are we going to get a Max Ayton?
But Chris Paul's there.
But he's there. Yeah. But you drafted someone number one. That's your number one pick.
Yeah.
You have like, you fuck around and you find out down the road, it doesn't work out. You trade the contract. It's just what you do. You have to be given reasons not to do this. So what reason did you get from that playoffs other than him getting bullied and no help? He was your only big. And he flamed out in the finals. He did great in those other things. He did great against Anthony Davis. He did a great job. So how are you just not going to like pay the kid? That makes no sense. You have to have substantial reasons for not paying him his coin right there. And I don't think they have enough to do that.
I feel like they're going to have to give it to him. And
yeah,
they screwed this up by waiting so long because now he's going to remember this.
Now it's leaked. The fact that it got out, yeah, that's
amazing. It just sucks that, like Alan, you said he's the number one pick. It just sucks that the people after him, even though they're stars, right? Like Trae Young and Doncic, like Luka, are getting the super, super mat. Well, the rookie
MPJ,
right?
Yeah,
even, Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr., right? I'm sorry, that guy so did not deserve people, no.
Well, these people are getting paid way more than you, and you just made it to the finals.
Okay, yeah, I'm mad. Starting, you know what? That's a good point. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm mad. I didn't even think about that. The other four guys below you got paid more money, and it wasn't even a thought. Luka got paid.
And you made it to the finals.
Michael Porter Jr. somehow got paid $207 million after missing it like a full season. I don't.
That's the thing. That's the thing with Denver. They're willing to put all their chips in this team. I just feel like the Suns aren't willing to do that. Like they paid Joker, they paid Jamal Murray, they paid even Aaron Gordon. I just feel like the Suns aren't willing to do that. They're very timid, and I don't know what they think they're missing.
Screwing up.
Yep.
Alan?
No, yeah, I was just saying, yeah, they are screwing up.
They're screwing up. Let us know if the Suns are messing this up. Do they still, at this point, is it even worth it to give Ayton? Do you just give it to him and hope that he doesn't hold this as a grudge? Is Ayton worth the contract, Max? Let us know at BPH on NBA. Yeah.
I think he's a top five center, man.
Yeah.
He has to be top five center.
You got Joke, Embiid, Joke,
Bear,
AD.
He was American. He'd be on Team USA. I think.
Stop putting AD in the five.
Hey, he's officially a five. He's accepting his five rule. Okay, he is now a five. So you know what? Ayton's up there, and the way he performed against AD, even though AD was somewhat injured, showed me that. So yeah, let's say he is a top five center. Not Chris Stapps, right?
No,
not Chris Stapps, Dexter. Chris Stapps isn't the top five center anymore.
There's Slenderman.
Slenderman. All right.
And oh yeah, that was the nickname I had for that second unit of Raptors, Slenderman. Bushel of Slenderman.
That sounds kind of.
We have been
somehow.
We have been witnessing some great playoff basketball. Ooh. Over in the WNBA. Yo, I think we're gonna get that. I feel like we're gonna get that Chicago Sky Aces final.
Aces.
Well, I feel like the Aces are going to come back. Like,
really?
I know.
They got slapped twice, though.
I know.
I think Taurasi is like, this is, no, I'm winning. I'm winning this. I'm going to score efficiently from three. I'm pulling up.
Is she the GOAT if she takes, like, is she the greatest, like, WNBA player of all time? She wins.
She might be. I think.
Can she not be?
I think yeah. she is. Between she gold medals be. And like championships, she is the GOAT, right?
She's past Lisa Leslie, right?
Right? Like
Lisa Leslie is just nostalgic. I don't think
she's just like the MJ is just GOAT. Like
yeah,
great in the 90s, but like not really the greatest because like those younger people heard that at LeBron James. You know what I'm saying?
We just saw her dunk and we're like, oh man, she's the greatest woman.
Bro, like
but now okay, Griner's so like just dunking everywhere.
Let me give everyone just an idea of Taurasi here. She's 39. She's played since 2004. So 2004 to 2021. She's hitting like historic numbers already. She obviously had a great career at UConn, three-time NBA champion, two-times final MVP.
NBA champion.
Two-time WNBA MVP, 10-time All-Star. Like, the accolades just continue. So if she wins now, this would be her fourth championship. I'm not going to say I know a lot of history, but I'm pretty sure four champions in the WNBA is a lot. So I'm going to say she's GOAT, but I still feel like aces. Like, I don't know. I'm watching the game tomorrow night for sure. But I wanted to see Chicago. I wanted to
that see Chicago game was tense though. That was like, that I don't know who missed that layup that had like, whatever, just to win the game. They stole the ball seconds left, so much time leaked out. Did that reverse layup off the back thing, and it hurt to see that miss because I've missed that layup so many times where I'm just running way too fast on a fast break, and I put all my energy into it, and it just bounces off the backboard, and it just, ooh! And they had like three different chances to take the lead, and shout out to Chicago's defense because they stepped up. Nuts. But also, I learned something that I should kind of talk about. It's Cambage. So
Cambage.
It's not Liz Cambage. It's Cambage. So Cambage. This entire time we were like
beige, watching not Cambage.
Like LeBron James. Like we were saying it so wrong the whole time. Oh, when you see someone's name in print so much, you know, really got to hear it out. So I have to call myself out.
I'm probably the same. I definitely have not been saying Cambage. I know that for a fact. So shout out to Liz Cambage. Yes, Cambage. But yeah, I thought the Aces team was stacked. So like I'm still gunning for them.
They get team slapped. They're not even losing. Like when they lose, they're not even losing well. They're like they look disjointed, they're getting pushed around, they're getting beat, and then they're just like every time on transition, they're just like a three coming up from Phoenix. So they've been playing great.
All right.
Double Phoenix in the finals. Let's get it. Phoenix is rising, baby.
Phoenix back to back.
So we're looking probably at Phoenix and Chicago, I'm guessing. But yeah, let us know who you guys want in the final. We'll obviously keep you updated over the next 2 weeks.
I think Connecticut might win, to be honest.
Oh, you think Connecticut? What?
That fourth quarter run from Chicago was the only thing that really kind of like stepped everything up. Like they did step up on defense, but they were chances. That game could have swung either way. They were up like they were down, I think. Like 8 points going into like the fourth or like there was an area there and it just had a crazy point swing where I don't know her name. Let me pull it up right now, but it really did switch everything. So I don't know.
Both series are at 2-1. Chicago's up and Phoenix is up. But we'll definitely be updating you just with who we got. Yeah.
Vandersloot. She was going off.
Vandersloot. Oh yeah.
Just
control
the ball. Boom, boom.
Nuts.
She's taking
nuts.
Some smart plays.
All right. Alan Shane Lewis, where can the world find you, sir?
Oh, where can you not find me, man? You can find me at Alan Shane on Instagram, The Alan Shane on Twitter, on Netflix. Woo! Great Canadian Bacon Show, stream season 4 if you guys want to.
Bang, bang, bang,
it's
bang.
On there. Watch the show on October 17th. And yeah, yo. And collect stamps, man. That's my new thing. I'm a stamp collector now. Stamps.com.
What are those called? Use
promo code.
There's a name for it.
Losers.
People who collect stamps.
Just took a shot at the stamp collecting fan of BTH.
Dexter, where can the world find you, sir?
You can find me watching Netflix. You know, shout out Squid Game. Let's go.
Yeah.
But Ryan, we're almost there.
Play his
pre-music. Hey, mother. Music.
You got 1 week.
Pre-music.
There's no music.
I'm living. That's it. Cut. No, not even the whole thing. That's literally my next life. Don't forget to G Triple OG on the IG, TikTok, Twitter, and Top Shot. I mean, I have that. Okay.
So since we're out here, you know, promoting Netflix shows, there's one I'm excited about.
What you got?
It's called Escape the Undertaker.
Hey,
yo, it's an interactive show where you have to escape the Undertaker's mansion and he like fucks you up, and you're apparently positioned as the New Day, like your character is the New Day and you have to escape the Undertaker, and it's interactive. So like it came out today on Netflix, so I'm gonna go check it out.
Played it yet? Have you
already watched? No, I'm gonna go play it. But okay. The New Day is hilarious, by the way. So the New Day is trapped in the mansion and the Undertaker's trying to kill them. So you have to escape, and it's called Escape the Undertaker. Go check it out. It has nothing to do with the show, but
yeah.
You're
but yo, here's a rap, a kind of a combination between the two. Which NBA player would win the Squid Game?
Ooh, okay. Which NBA player would win Squid Game? I wish we started off with this. Okay.
Just cut it and put it in the
front. Why do I want to say Joel Embiid? I feel like he'd troll his way.
I feel like you're right. Troll his
way. He'd just find a way to cheat. Like this guy would just cheat. Like he pushed people out of the way. He just find a way to cheat in the game and then just advance somehow.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be Chris Paul, man. I don't know. Like Chris Paul would kill someone, definitely. Right. And he would like. He'd yell at people to say, "Yo, jump on that." Okay.
Trust me, yo, the glass, the left one's good, man.
I like that pick too. Chris Paul would like joke laugh people and just like go behind their back and just like screw them over because he's smart. Or maybe if you include coaches, Jason Kidd, he's kind of crafty.
You know who's
spill water on somebody.
You know who's going out first? Kyrie. That's not listening to that stop go. Stop. I ain't going to stop. I'll tell you when I want to stop. And he's getting shot up one time. You listen to no instructions.
I know this is in poor taste, but Kyrie would be like, "I protest this game." And then they should be like, "Nah, you're gone. Sorry. We're just going to eliminate you right now."
Ruining the vibes of the Squid Game, bro.
We're going to eliminate you right now. I need to watch this show. I've seen too many memes that I already know so much about it, but I haven't actually watched it yet.
Watch it. It's pretty good.
Good bench. Good bench.
At R.A. Henry on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. Do not add me because you will be declined. This ain't
Adam.
Free.
Get them
ain't
feet picks.
Free. And at Below the Hard One on Instagram, at BTH on NBA on Twitter for all the latest. And, of course, you can find us Below the Hard One on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. iHeartRadio, and WeArePress.net.
Brian Antonio, baby.
Celebrity Big Brother coming soon. Certified Hater Boy. Let's go. We out.